Imagine waking up one day to discover your hair, a fundamental part of your identity, has been hijacked by the government. For Mossy Alinejad, this wasn't just a metaphor, but her lived reality. Born in a small Iranian village just before the 1979 Islamic Revolution, her journey from rebellious village girl to international activist forms the heart of The Wind in My Hair. This powerful memoir chronicles her fight against Iran's compulsory hijab laws and her creation of the viral My Stealthy Freedom movement that gave millions of Iranian women a platform to speak truth to power. Through her eyes, we witness how one woman's defiance sparked a movement that transcended borders and challenged decades of oppression. Life in Gomikola village was modest but dignified. My mother worked as a local tailor while supporting our family. Our mud house required yearly repairs after winter rains, with my father mixing cow dung, mud, straw, and rice husks to seal walls, a scent that still evokes home. We lived simply in two rooms with an outdoor kitchen and well water. Winter's harsh cold was eased only by a paraffin heater and the kursi, a low table with an underside brazier and blanket. Special treats came from my father's trips to Babol City, including our first banana, a mysterious mose from Farang, the West, shared among six of us. The Islamic Revolution transformed Iran when I was two. Pre-revolution photos revealed a different life. Store-bought clothes instead of homemade ones, my father beardless in urban attire. Under the new regime, women's rights eroded rapidly. The hijab became mandatory, women's testimony was halved in value, and family protections disappeared. Women slept in headscarves, fearing they might slip off at night. Even my hair was no longer my own. It belonged to the state. School enforced strict gender segregation, with boys and girls separated by fourth grade. During recess, girls were restricted to the backyard while boys played freely. My uniform included the magna, covering my head, neck, and chest. I envied boys' freedom in clothing and cartoon characters with their visible hair. Puberty brought shame as my body developed, having internalized that women's bodies caused men to sin. I hunched to hide my chest. When my period came at 14, I ran home scared, while my mother smiled, likely thinking of marriage. At 16, I rebelled against the chador requirement. My father's discovery brought fury over family shame. My defiance grew at school through pranks against clerics, political slogans, and questioning religious gender standards, ultimately leading to expulsion. At Horiat, Babel's top high school, I discovered my passion for reading and formed a secret political book club with my friend Mariam, Fariada Kaveh, Call of Kaveh, named after an Iranian folk hero who fought tyranny. I married fellow activist Reza at 18, not for love, but escape. My goals were clear. I want to write, be a photographer, live. Our political activism and pamphlets demanding freedom of speech for all led to our arrests for plotting against the supreme leader. In prison, I endured blindfolded interrogations and wrote confessions marked "The truth shall set you free." During a bathroom break, I saw Reza, severely beaten. A guard informed me I was pregnant. Released with a suspended sentence of 5 years and 74 lashes, I struggled with pregnancy and family shame. At my village wedding, I wore a black skirt in protest and pink headscarf. The crowd gasped when Reza appeared with his head shaved, the intelligence ministry's public mark of his imprisonment, despite my father's attempts to hide it. After my son Puyan's birth, I sold my wedding jewelry to become a wedding photographer in Babul. When we moved to Tehran, my northern accent initially hindered job prospects, but I eventually found work as a market researcher for state television. Our marriage ended when Reza announced his love for another woman. In divorce court, I confronted the Islamic Republic's gender bias. The judge granted Reza custody, limiting me to 24 hours weekly with Puyan. Post-divorce, I found my way to Humbestegi, a reformist newspaper. Despite lacking credentials, no degree, languages, or connections, I convinced the editor to hire me as an unpaid intern through sheer determination. I studied journalism while taking media studies classes. My career launched when I secured quotes from radical lawmakers during a political dispute. The resulting anonymous front-page story made waves in Tehran. I built my reputation with hard-hitting stories, including investigations into MP bonus payments that ultimately cost me my press credentials. In 2008, amid arrest rumors, I fled to London. Emboldened by Obama's election, I sought to interview him, an unprecedented request for an Iranian journalist that the State Department surprisingly approved. Returning to Tehran in 2009, authorities seized my passport. After escalating threats and vandalism to my car, I departed Iran on June 3rd, just before the pivotal Mousavi Ahmadinejad election, unknowingly my final departure from my homeland. From London, I witnessed the post-election chaos unfold. The government prematurely declared Ahmadinejad's victory, violently suppressed protesters, and faced global outrage after Nada Agasultan's death became the Green Movement's symbol. I documented these human rights violations in my award-winning series, The Victims of 88. In 2014, a simple Facebook post of me at London's Kew Gardens, my uncovered hair flowing freely, sparked intense debate about compulsory hijab. I wrote how my hair had been taken hostage by the Islamic Republic for 30 years, igniting widespread discussions about forced veiling. My photo driving without hijab tagged Azadi Yavashaki, Stealthy Freedom, struck a chord with every Iranian woman who knew these rebellious moments. When My Stealthy Freedom launched in May 2014, women began sharing their unveiled photos, despite risks. The Islamic Republic responded with false accusations, claiming I was raped by three bandits in London, an attack prompted by how compulsory hijab fundamentally upholds their authority. The movement gained recognition when Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg named it her favorite page in October 2014, calling me one of her personal heroes. By 2017, we initiated Wednesdays Without Compulsory Hijab, using white scarves as protest symbols. The campaign surged when Vida Movahed removed her headscarf atop a utility box on Tehran's Revolution Street, inspiring nationwide demonstrations. Despite authorities arresting dozens of activists, the movement persisted, breaking the silence around compulsory hijab. As one protester stated, "Our weapon is a white scarf. I'm ready to pay the price if it will bring a free Iran." For millions, feeling the wind in their hair remains an act of defiance, proving how powerful revolutions often begin with small personal rebellions.